Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
So thank you. My topic this morning is financial serenity. Here at the center, I hope many of you know how we hold true prosperity, because I say it again and again and again many times throughout the year, and it's my hope and wish that you can actually say it yourself. True prosperity is to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our lives. And of course, it includes money, but prosperity is not only about money. Now, today's topic is financial serenity. Finances and money are one of the most emotional topics that people have in their life. You know, it's interesting, sometimes people will share with even a stranger that they were sexually abused, or maybe that they've had an abortion. But very, very few people will share where their finances are. Never mind to a stranger, but sometimes not even to their significant others or anyone in their family or their best friends. People associate a lot of pleasure and a lot of pain around the subject of money. It's my hope and intention that as a result of today's topic, financial serenity, rather than give money and finances so much power to control us, that we take our power back and focus on serenity. We focus on serenity. So my purpose is threefold. First of all, a question to ask ourselves in self-inquiry. Do I really want to be financially serene? Or do I want to be financially secure? Or maybe both? And is there a distinction? And what are some of the feelings associated with both of them? That's number one, and I'll get back to that. Number two is to be open and creative in financial serenity and align our doingness. I don't even know if there is a word like that, but we can create new words anytime. You know. We can align our doing with the consciousness of being serene. And number three, to build the consciousness of abundance, prosperity, affluence, and dramatically demonstrate it to any doubter that we may have within us. Okay. So many people pursue financial security. And in August, I addressed Security in a Changing World is part of a series that I was using the book Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth. So many people pursue security, and this is what I said in August, and I'm repeating it. Secure in terms of protective barriers and a continuous provision of food, of clothing, of shelter, of health, or heat rather, and medical attention and light. Now then, if that's the case, The most secure individual is a lifelong convict in a penitentiary. That's something to think about. What people really hunger for and desire isn't so much financial security, it's financial serenity. If they tell themselves the truth, because they think that what they would couch to be financial security, then I will be peaceful, then I won't worry, then I'll be serene. Okay? So both security and serenity are really about us not worrying. Not worrying. Financial security, we're trying not to worry, and therefore we may hoard or we may accumulate all we ever may think that we might need for our whole lifetime. In financial serenity, we get to the state in consciousness where we just don't worry, because we've discovered the true source of our supply. Many times people think the source of our supply is just our jobs. That's one of the avenues of the source that comes from the source of supply. But the source of supply is inexhaustible, invisible, and it's a storehouse. So the big thing here is to shift from worrying about the future to presencing ourselves to right now. It's interesting, the center will be offering on Tuesday nights in February, two Tuesday nights, Eckhart Tolle, when he spoke at Findmore. Anthony Robbins said this about what I'm speaking about, and I'm quoting. I personally believe a person is wealthy when they consistently feel they are living in a world of abundance rather than one of scarcity. You just look at that word scarcity, it's got the word scare in it. Scarcity. Scarcity. We really need to get this sense that there is enough of everything. And when people aren't worried, it's simply they're thinking about that there isn't enough. You know that, you know, especially around money. There's enough money on planet Earth for every single person. And I'm speaking about all those who are suffering right now and living on less than pennies a day. There's enough money in the world today for every single person to be a millionaire. The challenge is that money is flowing through what some people might think of a select few. You know, you sitting here on the top 5 and probably 2% as far as wealthfulness go in the world. That jar you a little bit? I know when I first read that, I went, whoa! Change any context around not being grateful for what we have. You know, I really like the word affluence. And you know, if you think of that word, it comes from the word affluere, and that means to flow. So all financial transactions are an exchange of energy. There's a flow happening. You know, we have a flow happening in ourselves with our breath and with our blood. It's called circulation. So there's an inflow and an outflow. Got it? So whenever you're exchanging money, of course you shouldn't slip into a consciousness of worry, of resentfulness. Many times in the front of the room here when we have financial contribution time at the topic, I say to people, give out of the sense of abundance and give out of the sense of joy. If you can't give it out of being happy that you're giving, just write a little blessing on the envelope instead. Because you're not helping yourself or the center if you give anything like that out of resentment or worry. You attract that back to yourself. You know, law of attraction is better than law of So align with being, with the consciousness of being at peace, serene, and actually enjoy the experience of circulating money and enjoy the experience of paying your bills. How are we when those willings come in the mail? Are we built? Do we look at the envelope and go, what's the hype of that? Or do we say, yay, hydro bill, I've been blessed with electricity for 2 months, and I get to circulate my money through that time to all the consumers. It's a whole concept shift. Or the Visa bill. Doesn't happen like on TV where it gets to be a zero. But then you say, wow, you know, I'm just fortunate. You know, I've got good credit. I have a Visa card. And here's the bill that tells me how I've circulated. And now I'm going to circulate to pay for it. When we get into the consciousness of feeling abundant, we know that we're like magnets all the time. So when we feel abundant, what do we think we're going to be attracted to us? Abundance. It's important that we keep money close at hand, and I'm not talking about hoarding either. But this is one of the things that I usually say whenever I've led my little one evening prosperity workshop that I haven't led for 2 years now. But I say in the promo, I say, never be broke again, people say. How can we do that? Well, I'll tell you how. And it's very, very simple. It's very simple. And sometimes it's so simple that people go, but it's true. This is true. Here's the thing. You take a money bill. You start wherever you're comfortable. I would hope you would start with more than a $20 bill, but maybe not. $20 bill, or a $50 bill, or a $100 bill. I used to have $100 bills, and then a lot of stores were like this, so I was 50. But have it in your wallet or in your purse at all times. At all times. With the commitment that if you break into it, if you go and use it for something, with the commitment that you replace it. ASAP. ASAP. So that you never have the feeling that you don't have any money. It's the feeling that counts. And when you know that you have a $50 bill on you, or maybe five $50 bills on you, or 10, some people might say, I get a little nervous walking around with that kind of money. Well, then we also have to look at that too. The law of attraction. Person that you're going to go to somebody that's worrying about that they got money in their wallet or their purse, or somebody that's just excited about it. So that's what I meant by keep money close at hand. Have cash on you. Don't just have plastic all the time. You know when you get your checks printed out with your name, your term address on them? Under my name, I have in bold, and I requested in bold, bless this exchange. Bless this exchange. Well, thanks for putting it on. But it's interesting what a conversation opener it can be. Because a lot of, you know, clerks kind of don't look at checks hardly anymore, and I hardly write checks very much because of debit and just easier. But you know, look at and go, bless this exchange. Bless this exchange. And it's an opportunity to talk a little bit about what you believe about yourself. That I'm blessing the circulation of money. That I'm happy to be getting whatever I'm receiving, the service or the dress or the whatever. And I'm happy to give you the money for it. And I'm blessing this exchange. We never know what a difference that that might make in one person's life. Especially somebody who's never heard of that. Okay, so I said a little earlier about not to worry. Worry repels. Worry is faith in action in a negative sense. Some people say, I don't have enough faith. Well, yeah, you've got enough faith. Where are you putting your faith? The projection of what's possible rather than what's probably not even probable. Thinking in a negative way. We're dealing with the laws of metaphysics all the time, and we're always dealing with the law of attraction. How do we feel when we're worried? You seldom see somebody like this say, I'm so worried. I'm so worried. You never see that. Whenever anybody's worried, they look the part. They feel the part. And it's that feeling. The thoughts create the feeling creates the vibration, and it's the vibration that attracts the results. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. It's also a good thing for us to really look at our language and our money. You know, notice I said the word circulate a couple of times. If we could, and this takes some doing, because however many years you've been using some of this language, it takes a conscious like, oh, I just instead of using the word spend, use the word circulate. Doesn't spend kind of have like a finality to it? If you spend it, there's no more. Whereas if you say, I went out here and I circulated a lot of money today, there's a different feeling about that. And you know, if it brings up something, giggle about it. It's a good feeling. What about instead of calling our savings account a savings account, calling it our serenity account? Serenity account. Omit the term of the saying only. Come up to a ticket wicket, you're going to pay $2 for your car to get out or whatever that is, $7 in gallon. I'm happy to say I have a $20 bill. I'm happy to say not I only have. It's a directive to the subconscious mind. There was a symbolic story in scripture in the Old Testament about a widow that went to the prophet Elijah in distress. Her husband had died. She was destitute, and creditors were pressing her. They were wanting to take her son away. And she asked Elijah, can you help me? And Elijah said, what do you have in your house? Sometimes people just take that question literally. And she said, I only have one pot of oil. The real question was, what is in your consciousness, that house that is your consciousness? What are you thinking? What are you identifying with? She was centered on poverty and scarcity and the problem of onlyness. I only have one pot of oil. So he instructed her to go and borrow vessels. And that was like a suggestion to expand her mind to include a new faith, a positive faith, and a new vision. And she poured oil from her one pot into the new vessel, and it flowed freely until the last vessel was full. It was as much as she could conceive and believe and receive that she achieved. A lot of times I've said here, never mind about conceiving, believing, and achieving. It's about conceiving, believing, and what? Receiving it. Being receptive to it. So you have to have a lot of vessels there to receive it. To receive it. She also has to have a change of mind. So what do we say only? I only have so much. I only earn so much. Like that. In your program, you have a couple of little affirmations. The infinite fashions me out of itself and is always working for me in both worlds of consciousness. And then on the other side, there's one about being secure. I am secure, for I know who I am, a rich, endowed expression of God. So it's important for us to get our language straightened around so that we are talking about prosperity, abundance, affluence, having enough, and not when then, and not only. One of the keys to prosperity is certainty. Right. Being thankful for who we are, for what we are, for what we have, for every little thing in our life. It's important that we also learn how to see fully. How to see fully. When somebody gives you a gift, how are you with it? Do you ever say you shouldn't have? Delete that from your vocabulary and consciousness. Why shouldn't they have? That comes from your consciousness, you saying that you don't deserve it. Oh, you shouldn't have given me. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Why not? They gave it to you. They did it for you. What's the appropriate thing to say? Go out for lunch. Somebody wants to buy your lunch. Oh, no, no, that's okay. That's okay, I'll get it. Oh, no. A sense of unworthiness. Also a sense of, well, if they pay this time, then I guess I have to pay next time. Hello? Did they say anything about that? Keeping track is another state of consciousness. Eckhart Tolle said this, gratitude for the present moment, the fulfillment of life now, is true prosperity. So again, it's not about worry. What's worry? Worry is about the future. The moment we're into worry, we are projecting into the future. You could just stop and say, right now I'm fine. Right now I'm fine. Right now I'm fine. You know what happened? Okay, yeah, that's it. So it's really about altering my thoughts, having some very positive affirmations. What about something like this? I'm worthy of all the good I can imagine and even more. I'm worthy of all the good that I can imagine and even more. I desire and deserve abundance. I allow myself to be successful and feel successful. I speak success and prosperity. I acknowledge and I congratulate myself. I give myself permission to have what I desire in my heart. I expect the best and I bless the moment and I trust myself. I really will find something. That's the same for Mahamana Yogananda. Expect the best, bless the moment and trust myself. Trust myself, capital S-E-L-F. The spiritual being that you are, not trust the self as small as S-E-L-F, the ego-centered belief that you're separate from each other. What about this one? My energy is open and flowing in every area of my life. Money flows into my life and I am prosperous. I allow myself to have more than I ever dreamed. possible. Boy, you know, when I first started to read about prosperity from Catherine Ponder, she's written so many books on prosperity. Boy, all the old programming used to come up. One of the things that I remembered a lot of was my mother used to say, "Who do you think you are, Missy? You think money grows on trees?" When Marvin and I moved from Edmonton to the center, we were sitting at a farewell party, and somebody gave us a money tree. Yeah, because the whole tree was a little, and we had money attached to all those things. Just hold that there is such a thing as a money tree. If my mom were alive today, I'd tell her who I am. And I don't mean Gail Schultz, the minister, that's my personality, but for what I am. I'm sorry, but she died at 46 of cancer, not knowing who she was or what she was. All right, so we could go on and on with a lot more affirmations. Definitely worth it. But it's really about building a consciousness of prosperity and abundance. You know, millionaires have achieved their great affluence not so much for a desire to find security, but because of their entrepreneurial spirit, like go for it, saying yes to life, their adventuresomeness, and they move beyond barriers of accepted limitation. A rich mentality will not come because of financial investments. It comes first from the consciousness of knowing that we live in, that we're immersed in the substance of God. And it is infinite. And the conscious mind cannot even fathom what that means. So in scripture it says, seek ye first the kingdom. So what does that mean? We need to seek first that consciousness of oneness. That there is no separation between me and my world. That there is no separation between me and you. There is no separation between me. See, the moment we say "and," that's a languaging of separation. That's a languaging of separation. And then we have to read a whole new language. I was reading something about centenarians who are lived to be 100. Not one of them retired to do absolutely nothing. So, you know, there might be some people in the audience that are, you know, experiencing a financial challenge. There's something in the scripture, too, that is said over and over and over again. And, you know, we really have to watch to see what we take literally, but I like this one. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. That means it's not going to stay. It's not going to stay that way. It will stay that way if you worry about it. If you say some of these things that we've been talking about in a negative way, onlys, when then, worry. But it came to pass. That means that, you know, that we're immersed in energy, we are energy, all the things in our life are energy, our thoughts are energy. I've said so many times this last year, instead of looking at things like a problem, do we tell God how big our problems are, or do we tell God problems how big our God is? And do we shift the languaging from problem to, in new God, we say challenges, Gail. But shift it one more time and call it your project. Your project to express and experience abundance, prosperity, affluence, and serenity and peace, especially around finances. Especially around. I remember a time in my life where I worried about finances. There's been times at the center where I haven't drawn my full paycheck because the money wasn't flowing. And I didn't worry, but I had more concerning things to handle of rearranging my finances and rearranging them. But I remember that from my first marriage, before I ever knew about new God, and I never even heard the word prosperity. How many of you, when you were growing up, heard the word prosperity in your house? But in my first marriage, there was a lot of worry. I was afraid to answer the phone for bill collectors. So if anybody's sitting here thinking, well, you know what it's like? I know what it's like. And I'm not going to go there ever again. And yes, there may be an ebb and flow of anything, you know? Talking about, the finances now in the States, and it's definitely going to affect us, and is affecting us. There's always going to be this. How are you going to feel? How are you going to feel? How are you going to think about it? What kind of thoughts are you going to think about for you, for your family, for you? Yes.